You ever wonder about the people in family photos or ever try to ask who these people really were? Every face is a narrow escape or a love story that almost didn't happen. Your family stories are hidden in plain view. You just haven't accessed it yet. There are versions of these rebels and dreamers before life told them who they needed to be. And I'm not talking about the shiny stories everyone knows. I'm talking about the soul-crushing experiences with heartbreaks and real loss. You gotta preserve these stories now. So contact thevietnamstorybank.com today. No polish, just raw, recorded, beautiful history that makes you sit up and hold your breath. We dig it all up, record it, and hand it back to you. Safe, unerased, untouchable, and unforgettable. Don't let silence have the last word. Go to vietnamstorybank.com today. Make sure your family's stories are recorded. Welcome to the Vietnamese podcast. I have Peter from Broke the Habit back on. It's been probably a year or so. And I am so curious, like, what has been going on with you in the last year? Because I know that the journey that you've taken in the last year or so has been something that, you know, it was like unclear. So I just wanted to get back on. And I know that you've been through some ups and downs in the last year. So welcome back.
Thank you. Thank you for having me back on. My pleasure.
Can you walk me through, like, when we got off the last episode, like, what was your journey like?
Was that almost 2 years ago?
Wow. Could be.
A year and a half ago? Yeah, because yeah. I came here in 2024 and that was 2026. Yeah, so when I first met you, looking back, hindsight's always 20/20. I was still in survival mode. And the big takeaway from that was all of my life I was in survival mode. So I came to Vietnam, I was an English teacher. And then still trying to do content on the side part-time. And I went through my own trials and tribulations.
Yeah.
Worked at a media company that I'm not going to say the name. And then burnt myself out. And the TLDR is I had to go back home for like 4 or 5 months to reset. 2026, I'm finally doing what I wanted to do in Vietnam is try to do this content thing full-time. So that's what I've been doing since January, and I'm gonna play it out until the year and see whether that takes me. And I'm slowly making my way up north. I'm currently in Nha Trang right now as we're talking.
So you work for this media company and you burned out because you just like worked too many hours? Like how did that
worked too many hours? I felt like I was a little bit over leveraged and I couldn't work on my own brand. I took it because it was an opportunity that I thought, I'm like, oh, this would be, you know, exciting, you know, enter the Vietnamese market. And then I realized, oh no, I don't have enough time for my own stuff. And then I realized that was the same thing that happened to me in Vancouver, Canada, where I was like, took this big job, six figures, but then, you know, didn't feel happy. Something was kind of missing. Like I took it because there was like stability, there was like a paycheck, but I'm like, wait, I am slowly actually recreating the life that I had in Canada.
Wow.
In Vietnam. I'm like, wow. And that was like, okay, now I need to take a step back. Something needed to like be different here.
Damn, that's so trippy that we don't really leave ourselves, right? We don't really
100%.
Wherever we go, we're taking the same mindset wherever we go. So do you think that you've purged that mindset or do you think you're still? No.
No, I'm aware of it now, but it like because I have family in Thanh Binh and in Saigon, the more I look back, I'm like, holy crap. Just years of intergenerational trauma and poverty. And I'm starting to see a lot of the way that my parents raised me, the scarcity survival mindset. Yeah. I'm like, holy crap, my whole life, scarcity. Like, if I have this job, I don't know if there's a bigger job out there. It's so hard for me to think abundance.
Yeah.
And even till this day, like, I just visited my aunt, dropped off some of my luggage, and she's like, hey, if I had the chance to go Nước Ngoài, I would never come back. And I'm like, I always have that guilt of like, I'm back in Vietnam. My family doesn't support me. And it's always been like this kind of guilt that I carry with me. from doing this content creation journey?
I identify with so much of it. I do. I identify with the scarcity mentality. I have to read affirmations every day to purge myself of this like idea of like not having enough. But this has been one of the most plentiful years for me in 2026 in the podcast, like all these brand deals and just the ability to look into the camera and talk into the camera. That wasn't there before, you know? I feel so much gratitude, but at the end of the day, like deep down inside, it's still there. It's still like lingering and feels so dirty and it drags your confidence down. And how do we get out of this? How do we like?
I think it's like you lean into the things that make you uncomfortable. That is like to be able to like, my default is like isolation. When like stuff hits the fan, I run away and isolate. I'm like, how about now? I just kind of
confront,
sit. Yeah. Just sit with the uncomfortable, like, hey, this might not work, but it's completely different. And I'm doing something that is way out of my comfort zone.
Hence, broke the habit. Break the habit.
I'm trying to.
Yeah. So on this iteration of your life, going back to Vietnam, this next shot, what is different about the way you're handling content creation?
I'm doing it full time now. There is no, I should get another remote job or, I'm going to try to, you know, take a full time. This is like, I'm working and, really cool. Shout outs to Chinsu. I don't know if you follow my Instagram page. That was a brand deal. I'm like, oh, cool. Okay. I can do this. And a lot of people were like, Peter, aren't you doing, content full time? I'm like, no, this is part time. I don't think there's any money, but then I'm like, wait, I can get partnerships here. Like I have a big enough audience to like, this can actually sustain myself. And that's, I had to like change my mindset of like scarcity to abundance. There is opportunities here. Cause a lot of people look at me like, Peter, you made it. I'm like, no, I feel like I'm barely beginning.
Yeah. Yeah. And what number did you feel like you could now get brand deals?
I think I always could. I think I had a interview with, I interviewed Chris Doe. Shout outs to him. Mm-hmm. And he's like, oh, with your level as a, I had like, I think 60K followers back then. He's like, you could easily get like 4-figure brand deals. I'm like, really? I'm like, what? Because back then I was like, as a content creator, I'm like, oh, I'll $200, $300. Okay, I'll take it. But I'm like, no, I was thinking so small. And now with the creator economy, it's like, there's companies out there, you know yourself, that are willing to pay money, even though you don't have like a huge viral audience, they have a budget.
Yeah. I remember a chef telling me when he was at 15,000 subscribers on Instagram, he was already monetizing. He looked at me, he's like, it's not that hard. It's just a mindset. And I began to think about that. That was years ago, but I began to think about that. You know, it really is a mindset. All of this is a mindset. All this like world that we live in with this content creation or the next iteration of our lives for the next 20 years on Earth with AI and all, it's really a mindset. You know, like 100%. You can actually get really rich if you can swim in this like new world. Yeah, it's all in here.
That's what I realized, because like the first month of doing this content thing full time, I'm like, wait, I'm doing what I wanted.
Wow.
I'm like, it took me a year of being an English teacher. I'm like, why do I need to be an English teacher? Why can't I just do this, like jump straight into this content thing? It's here. It was this brain.
Yeah. It's all up in here, controlling it.
Because a lot of people online are like, hey, you should get a job. You should like find something stable, going to Vietnam. It's not going to work. I'm like, you're watching the content. Like this content is a job. People don't realize that.
So what do you have? Okay. I look at, there are people that I look online, like for example, Milky Tran. I haven't had her on the podcast yet, but one of her mentors told me, hey, you should check out Milky Tran. And you start to look at her post, right? Shout out to Milky Tran. Love to have you on the podcast one day. You look at her growth and you look at what she's done And you can say, that is somebody who really has done it right. I think she's at 260K. And the ability, the idea of monetizing for her seems like, you know, it's there. Adobe, you know, all of these brands will honor the way that she puts out content. It's beautiful stuff. But then for the rest of us, like, people, how do we get to that point where we're so adept at, we're so good at what we do and feeling confident to be where you are right now, which is, it's a journey. I mean, it took you years, and I'm feeling like, to interview people for me, it's okay. Like, I'm okay with that. But the next big step is really understanding how to really tweak the brain to go, mm-hmm. I'm going to lock in and I'm just going to make the money. How do you go from that?
I think with her, because I've seen her stuff, it's like she worked years in production as a creative, so you understand that roadmap, where for us, it's more like it started off as like a casual hobby, and then you need to make the switch of like, oh, wait, I'm actually a media company. I am a business. So once you start seeing that, it's pretty much you just put together your one-page business plan. This is how I'm going to scale. This is my go-to market. Here are my values, and here's how I'm going to take the next step. That's what I needed to switch, because like I was doing Broke the Habit as like casually, but now you'll see within the next couple of videos, I'm like, I'm locking in.
Damn. This is like the year of the horse. I feel the same way this year. I'm just like, yeah, everything is like locking in, you know? And I feel like the money for some reason in the creator space is more this year.
Interesting.
I feel like it's more. Yeah, I've gotten more brand deals. I don't think that it's an issue of me being a veteran of the business anymore, but I think it's more like there's just more money, it feels like, in the creator space.
I'm like, Ken, you got to link me up with the VinFast. I would love VinFast to sponsor me.
Maybe we should do a deal. You fly back here and get on some are you going to be
my flight anytime soon? Done. Just pay for the flight. I'm there.
That's crazy. That's, you know, but maybe we can make something happen. I mean, maybe we could figure that out together and join up and you know, get together on a brand deal or something. I mean, that's what this is all about. You know, it's like opening up that kind of that opportunity space in your brain to be like, you know. So tell me, all right, so after you burned out at that big company and you left the company, and then did you stay in Vietnam, or what was your mentality like?
There's a lot of stuff happens. We had a mutual friend. I don't want to talk about too much about his tea, but like something happened. There was a falling out. Friends become business partners and business partners become rivals, stuff like that. I was so naive as this little kid from Vancouver stepping into Vietnam, not knowing much, right? I was very, what's the right word?
Green.
Yeah, like just like coming in and being like, I'm here to explore my culture and my roots, and everything is going to be like a walk in the park, you know? And I'm like, when you travel to a new place, I'm like, oh man, there's like different social groups, there's different things you need to be aware of. Laws are different. So
you got burned.
I quit. Yeah, I got burned a couple times. Definitely the year of the snake. Got burned a couple times. People that I don't know, once you have a bigger number, that's what I'm scared of as well. This is the scarcity mindset of like,
yeah,
a bigger number next to your Instagram handle, people treat you differently.
Tell me about that.
So people try to befriend you, but it's not so much of a befriending. It's more of a exchange. Like, what can you do for me? Versus I just want to get to know you genuinely as a person. And I think that comes along the lines of what I realize is now is like, oh, I was getting into showbiz. This is like triple Z level, but it's show business. And I know that if someone has like 500,000 followers, a million followers, they're not going to try to befriend everyone, right? There's going to be people who want something. They want to grab something. And I didn't realize that coming in, because I was like this, I'm just going to travel and be a content creator. I'm like, oh, now I'm starting to be a little bit picky of who I let into my circle and who I talk to.
Hmm.
Yeah. A lot of growing pains.
Yeah. And at what point did you realize that?
I think after I got burned, where I'm like, oh, I thought this guy was my friend. And then it turned out, oh, this was just a business transaction on their end. And but you...
How do you know that in Vietnam? How can you distinguish that now?
I think word of mouth, I think Saigon is very small. Mm. And I'm like, people are like, hey, that person, just be cautious. I'm like, okay. But then also getting the feel and vibe, I'm much more selective. I don't say yes to every single person that wants to meet me. But it can come off pretentious because people will be like, Peter, who do you think you are? Like, so it's like, it's a balancing act.
Yeah. But when we're careful, I think it's more important to make sure that we are okay with saying no. And that's a hard thing too, I think, for people. When we live in the scarcity mentality, it's
people pleasing.
We're all about the people pleasing. And then you see our successful friends, they're not about that at all. They're like, no means no. They got their reasons. They've been burned many, many years before we ever stepped into the business. And they've understand the cycle of like, yeah, it's a tricky space, but how has your content changed?
I think I'm having more fun with it and not just repeating the same thing. I want to show people local POVs of Vietnam and what it's actually like to move here and have fun. I got my nail did the other
day. Bro, I love it. I was going to comment on that too. I paint my nails every now and then too.
Yeah. I'm just having fun and like just there's this notion of like there isn't local POVs from Vietnamese people put out to the world. It's usually foreigners, expats who show you one side of Vietnam. They come here as cheap, but Vietnam has so much more to offer, so much more interesting stories that I think can be broadcasted to a global scale.
Soul, you know? We have a lot of soul. And I think it exists in every country. It's just a matter of like, how can you bring it to the world? How can you pull it out of people and show that POV to the world? And are you going to be focused on a certain sector of the POV kind of business? Or are you like looking to do food or, you know, what is it? Travel?
Yeah, I think that's still I'm trying to redefine because as a content creator, you're always trying to figure out like what's your shtick. And even with that, you've got to evolve that. So right now I'm going through every city. I'm trying to find like a local person to be my guide to show me around what's day in the life like in that city and their own life. So in Saigon, I actually interviewed this guy named Archer. And his kid, very interesting story, lived in District 8. He's actually a stay-at-home dad. As a Vietnamese man, that is very interesting POV of the wife being the breadwinner and him wanting to invest in his daughter and like raising a kid in the education system. And he drives 40 minutes every day just so his daughter can get a better education because the school system is better in District 10 versus in District 8.
Wow.
So these things I'm starting to see where I'm like, wow, my parents, that's the reason why my parents pushed a lot of education onto me because they see how important it was and the different levels. And education in Vietnam is still seen as the gateway, you know, in terms of success, having a happy life, right? Being educated.
But it is a real gateway. I think for anywhere, any country, and even in America, I mean, the more education you have, the more access to knowledge, you are bound to make better decisions. If you're in the know, you're definitely going to make, you know, the right decisions or better than if you didn't.
I was thinking Tao Dien in the last month, right? The expat area. And I lived next to Ishmik, the International School of Ho Chi Minh. And I'm like, wow, the level of wealth here is insane. They're speaking like English fluently. I'm like, these are 16-year-olds. And I'm like, just contrast in Saigon. You know, I had a friend on my podcast, you know, Saigon is known as Hua Le, right? The stories of the super rich and also super poor, just that stark contrast.
But are you covering that?
We talked about it briefly, but it's something that I want to touch upon and seeing that, yes, Vietnam is not super poor, but there are really sad stories that, I guess coming from the West, we take it for granted, right? We take education, we take just what our hardship is versus, you know, what other people are going around in the rest of the world.
And it's made us soft sometimes, you know? It's made the descendants of our, you know, our parents' level, like second generation like me, I'm much softer than a guy who's my age who came to America when he was 15. That guy outpaces me on any level, right? A 15-year-old kid who came from Vietnam in 1985, same age, or 1990, 15-year-old kid, smokes me in terms of like work ethics and all that. Mm. And I think that that has a lot to do with like when you grow up in poverty in Vietnam and you get to the United States and you're like a fish and you're just like, now you're getting into the big ocean and you can eat all the little, you just have much more plankton to grow bigger in size because you're in a bigger ocean now. And coming from a lot of poverty in the early, you know, 80s, you know, you just get here and now you're just, it turns everything around for you. And I think that's a lot of Vietnamese men and women now living in Vietnam, like my age, they're just so driven to like make the country a better place. And I think that we are living in a new time with Vietnam, you know, with the people in their 40s and 50s who are, you know, clear and free of the war, and they're born after the war, and they're, you know, now they're grinding and now they've made so much progress and now they're sending their children off to the United States, and now the new crop of Vietnamese people are coming up, and now that you're going back to Vietnam doing content, I wonder what kind of shift you're seeing in yourself and the way you tell stories from when you first came until now.
I think a lot of VidQ or those that come from the West, there are different stages, and I think I passed through the novelty stage. I don't know if I touched about that in our first podcast, but like everything's so new. Oh my God, motorbikes. Some people never get out of that stage, right? Some people keep visiting Vietnam every 2 weeks and they're just in that I'm sure you know, like party mode, and then they go back home and they live their life and it's back in party mode. But now it's like I see all the good and the bad, and I'm able to make a better decision of whether or not, you know, I want to live here long term. Or I want to do like, my dream was like 6 months Vietnam, 6 months back in Canada. So it's definitely, this time around, it definitely changed my POV. And I feel much more comfortable in Vietnam. I walk around in my slides, my flip-flops, and I just feel much more at home. Or, yeah, comfortable.
And then why do you want to go back to Canada for 6 months?
My parents are getting old. Mm. I think that's the only reason,
So yeah, if they moved to Vietnam with you,
they would not move. My dad wants to visit, but I'm trying to convince him. Maybe in a future Broke the Habit series, I'm going to have my dad has not been back in 30 years. So his view is going to be like blown in terms of like how different Vietnam is.
He left and never came back yet.
He came back in 95, wow. Right? He left in 80, and then he revisited in 95, and then since then he hasn't been back.
Wow. Why? Why not?
He just worked. Scarcity, survival mindset, worked his whole life as a janitor, 40 years, man. And I'm like, I interviewed him, and it was just survival. He didn't know anything more. Like, no one could help him. And he just worked for 40 years. And I get a little emotional, but yeah, he just worked. But now he's retired. He retired last year, but he still has the same mindset. I'm like, Dad, you're retired now. Like, what's your excuse now? He's like, your mom doesn't want to go. Or I'm like, I'll go next year. I'm like, Dad, you said next year last year. It's next year now. When you're going to come, I'll be your tour guide. But there's still this thing where it's like, he doesn't know how to just like relax. It was just constantly like 40 years being a janitor. I just got to survive. I got to make ends meet.
When you left the first time, did you think that you were coming back?
That's a good question. I think it was not coming back to Canada or Vietnam.
Vietnam. When you left the last time.
So I actually left in like after a year just to visit them. I knew I was coming back. It was just a month because back then I was still a teacher. So I told the school, hey guys, I'm going to go for a month and I'll be back. But every time I come back, it's like the initial novelty wears off. And it's like every time I come back, it's like I'm a different person. I don't know if other overseas Vietnamese can relate with this, but every time it's like a different version of me comes back into Vietnam. And I don't know if that's because I see myself differently. I'm different. But every VidQ comes back, oh my God, it feels like home. But then that mirage starts to fade. And then you're like, who is this? What is this feeling that I'm actually coming back to?
And this time, do you think you'll leave again?
I think that's, we'll see. Yeah. After I make it up to Hanoi. But I do want to visit 2-3 months back with my parents, but I still want to build in Vietnam. I still want to build this story because everyone knows me as the dude who moved to Vietnam. And I feel like there's still so much more that I haven't done in terms of storytelling and making this a forever thing where I'm like known as like a Vietnamese content creator, but also more than just Vietnam because I don't want to put myself in a box where I'm like, I'm just that dude in Vietnam. Maybe I go to Thailand. Who knows?
Mm. Yeah, I'm on that path too. Just trying to figure out, you know, the brand is called the Vietnamese Podcast, but I want to like go out more. I want to like interview more mainstream Asian Americans because we're all like in this allyship here in LA. And I desperately want to move to Vietnam all the time. I talk about that on my podcast. I mean, I think that... Yeah. You are so lucky to live in Vietnam, you know, at your age. And, you know, now that you kind of have an understanding of what to do, you know, sky's the limit. And the, you know, and Vietnam's changed so much that you have such a big opportunity to do something with the content, you know.
And it's amazing because like a year ago, I'm like, I don't really see those opportunities. I'm in survival mode. I'm working for like $18 an hour at this English center. I'm just trying to grind and like make it through. But I'm like, now after like reflection, I'm like, oh yeah, I see it now, right? It's like the world is my oyster. I can do anything I really want.
And do you think that you could really make a big difference in your career trajectory? Like it seems very clear now.
I think there's always a part of like my own insecurities as a content creator. I'm like comparing myself to other people, especially with online. But I think I'm guiding myself in the right way, but I'm still have those like, oh, I don't know if I make it, what if this fails, yada, da, da, da.
Oh, it's still there.
Yeah.
And why do you want to get up to Hanoi? Like, what's the plan of like moving up north and making your way up north?
Because I've never done the whole travel Vietnam. I was just, for the past 2 years, I was like planted in Saigon. And I just did like a 9-to-5 and didn't really travel and see the tourist view that a lot of other VidQs around the world. Hey, I went north to south. I rode a bike. I went to this place. I went to Sapa. I never did any of that. I went to like Da Nang and that was it. So this is my first time being like, let me enjoy Vietnam.
And are you on a motorbike doing it or how are you?
I'm going by plane. I'm going by bus. I'm kind of just hopping around and very free spirit.
Just going from town to town to town up north, all the way to you.
Yeah.
And then what's the plan once you get up to Hanoi?
We'll see. maybe come back to Saigon, make it my base, maybe back to Canada. Kind of going with the flow right now. Yeah.
Holy cow.
Yeah, because literally last week, I was in the Saigon. Like, this is my suitcase. And now I'm like, I'm literally like in Nha Trang now.
I got so much love and respect for that. You know, it's like, how old are you now?
I'm feeling old. I'm 34 this year.
Yeah.
In Vietnam, but I'm 33. Technically 33.
I'm 50. And I look at your life and I'm just like, what a beautiful time of your life, right? At 34 to be, well, once you look back at it, you're just like, the freedom to just really map out whatever you want right now and just like have no strings attached and live like a free bird.
Even though you say that, there's my scarcity, like, oh no, what if this works? I always have that because my parents had me really late, right? They're born 54. They're getting up there. And I know, you know, John Via and like everything. It's like, I have a small window before I have to go back and take care of them because I'm still Vietnamese like that, right? I still be like, okay, the time to leave Vietnam and do whatever hell I want to do is now. Like this 2-3 year window, who knows? Knock on wood, you know? And yeah.
And you're the only son?
I have a younger brother. Yeah.
Yeah, that must be tough, you know? Must be tough. But yeah, it's exciting at the same time. And I'm glad to see you back in Vietnam. And what can we expect? Are you just, you know, going up free flow and you're just doing whatever you
want? I'm interviewing people. Interviewing people, I want to vlog. There's a lot of things I know that I want to explore Vietnam, talk to locals, and just share more of my story and who I am and have fun. I think the moral of the theme of me is like, I just want to do cool stuff and like interview people who have also done their journey because like my story inspired other people to come to Vietnam. And now I'm flipping the script and my platform is their platform. And I want to showcase other people. Like the next podcast I have on my channel is like, I interviewed this guy who lived in Australia. He's 42 and he just dropped everything and came to Vietnam, to Saigon, to make this little chili oil. And he's trying to make a business out of that. So there's a lot of people who are just like jumping ship and be like, I had enough of the West. I'm going to try to do something.
Wow, that is. And now is the time to do it. Now is the time. I'm telling everybody that. Now is the time. If you're in your 20s, 30s, 40s even, go to Vietnam. It's such a developing country. And I think that, yeah, there's hardships everywhere, but it's worth it. I think it's very worth it to get to Vietnam.
Yeah, because you can, because of the geo arbitrage and like the dollar cost, it's like in America, just be back in your 9-to-5. And you have more of this scarcity mindset where because you have USD, you can bring it here and leverage that to your own advantage. Use that privilege to see what you can build. Because to build a business here, you don't need that much capital. And that comes from a privileged place to say as a foreigner. But you can use that to your advantage versus where it's like, if you want to build a little mom and pop coffee shop back in America, that's like 500K, whatever, like build a brick and mortar. You bring that out to Vietnam, it's like, maybe if it's like luxury bar, maybe 300K, but it's this little like hole in the wall. It's like 50, 10, 20K.
You're good.
50. Set. Yeah. And you can experiment. If it blows up, it blows up, you know?
Yeah. 50K would do the job in Vietnam right now. Do a nice coffee shop and have a good life.
Yeah.
You know, I have some friends who in Vietnam, people who are from Vietnam ask me, you know, what is the deal with you Americans and identity angst? Like, why do you always obsess about identity? And I just recently been confronted with that a lot because I think it just has never left me. It's always there. And I think people who grew up in America, we're always dealing with that. We're always dealing with like America is dropping bombs on other countries. Mm. Always. It's like it never stops. And then you think like it happened to Vietnam. And it's so complicated, right? So difficult to kind of comprehend in the first go around at it. But when you, you know, you sit and you're like living in this country, you're just like, it's, it always haunts you. And then you see like different voices of like leaders in our community who are just like, America is like a war machine. And then you're like, well, we benefit from it. You know, Canada, the West, we all benefit from this. But then people like you and I who are just so thinking about Vietnam all the time, we live with this pain of identity angst. And it's like hard to separate that from who we are.
I think it comes from just being second generation, third culture. Before the internet, you know, masculinity, being Asian was frowned upon in the West, where people in Vietnam, the kids don't have the same issues that Vietcues have, right? Because they're Vietnam. You grow up, you're Vietnamese. That's all you are.
The whole society is Vietnamese.
Yeah, but when you grow up in America, Canada, you look on the TV, it's white people, right? You're like, Vietnamese guys are not sexy, right? You grew up being almost ashamed. Like everyone, especially if you're born like in the 80s or 90s as a guy, you know, it was not cool or sexy or attractive to be Vietnamese. You needed to be white, black, you know, this macho guy. And you always go like, huh, like I don't really love, it's internalized racism. You don't accept who you are. And then even our Asian counterparts, the ladies, have this like, oh, I don't date Asian guys because you look like my brother. Yeah, and it's only with the Asians that they have this kind of comment. And that's because you grew up around trying to appeal to the majority. And I think with now in the West, there's this Vietnamese maxing, you know, you're trying to embrace more of your culture. And it's this balancing act between embracing who you are and holding space for both. And that's what I'm realizing now as growing up in Canada. I will never be accepted as, you know, 100% Canadian. Or when I go to Vietnam, I thought I was very Vietnamese growing up in Canada. I'm like, I know the language. Most of my Vietnamese homies in Canada, they don't know Vietnamese. So I'm like, my right. Vietnamese is like first grade, but it's like, it's good. I know about the culture. I know who like the Lin is. I know who like MTP. I'm very Vietnamese. But then you walk into like Saigon, the first thing in the airport, I'm like, wow, they clock you as a foreigner. I'm like, oh, I'm very white. I'm very foreign. I'm very Nukwaya. And then it's like, huh, it's this constant struggle between like, who am I really?
And that shit don't get old either. That question, you're confronted with it everywhere you go as somebody who grew up and born in the West, you know?
Yeah.
You're looking at that every place you go, whether you go somewhere in America or you go somewhere in Vietnam. You know, you're confronted with the same damn question.
Yeah. You know? I get everywhere. It's like, where are you from? I'm like, I'm Canadian. No. Where are you really from? You know?
Yeah, and it just exists. You know, the place that you don't get that from is like London, you know? Because everybody's so international, you know? And I would argue New York, you don't feel that way either. New York just feels like, you know, everybody's from somewhere else, you know? But when you get into like the little pockets of like America, you know, it just feels like constantly. And there are people who don't think about this, you know, they're just not thinking about it. And that's okay too. I think that sort of not knowing is a blissful place to be sometimes.
Cause I also realized that there's very difference now between like being Vietnamese in the West and being like, there's almost a divide. I don't want to cause more friction between our culture, but it's
you
like.
You want to cause more or you don't want?
No, I don't want to cause, but like Vietnamese Americans now or Vietnamese outside is very different from being Vietnamese. And I'm starting to see like the differences between like living in Vietnam, like, okay, I get now what it's like to be more Vietnamese, where it's like when I was growing up in Canada, I'm so Vietnamese, but I wasn't really.
Or what's that difference? I want to hear it. What do you mean by that?
Just mannerisms or like culture or how you present yourself or the way I think, right? The way I think, it's very Western, right? Where in Vietnam, there's more, it's hiu, right? It's like hierarchy. It's little things where I didn't know I had to like, you know, hey guys, I'm going to leave the table. You know, just even eating dinner. I'm like, little things I have to
little
like,
things
learn. I'm like, wow, I'm very foreign, where I'm like, international, where I'm like, I just get up and leave whenever. I don't excuse myself. Maybe I don't have manners.
But you, that's why I find Vietnam so beautiful. I find the little things that even if somebody's out to correct you and want to make sure you're doing it the right thing, if you don't think of it as annoying or aggravating, it won't be. It's just, hey, I just want to show you the way we do it here. Yeah. And if I got to like let you know in Sinh Phep when I get up, so be it. I want that. I want that in my life. You know, I want, my mom used to always say, oh, this is how we do it in Vietnam. And I used to fight back. Like, I don't want to hear that. But now give me more of that. I want to hear more. How do they do it in Vietnam? And I want to think about why they do this stuff in Vietnam, you know? And there's always some odd reason. There's always some thing that makes sense to people from Vietnam, and that's fine. And I just told somebody today, I was like, why do I want to live in Vietnam so bad? Because I just want to feel what it feels like when everybody around you is Vietnamese and everybody's speaking Vietnamese. You know, like, how beautiful is that? You know?
I almost get the ick.
Do you?
Because when I was going back in Canada, I'm like, oh, this is going to sound racist, but I'm like, oh, white people. Because I'm like, I like being around my people. And like, totally. It wasn't the first time where I'm like, I'm in Vietnam where it's like, oh, everyone's Vietnamese. I don't have to be like cater or act a certain way. I'm like, everyone just, it just feels like family-esque because I never grew up around like a huge Vietnamese community. So now I'm like, I'm just sitting at a coffee shop. You know, this lady's over here talking about her son, blah, 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 whatever. It's just like, I'm just surrounded by Vietnamese culture.
We're like literally rambling about this, but that's like literally what I'm consumed with all day in my head. I'm all day thinking about it. I'm all day thinking about what's happening in Vietnam and why am I here in America?
Yeah. Your kids are older now, right? You can just slowly make the back and forth.
Yeah. They're eight, going on nine. And my son just turned 7. Yeah. And, you know, in the summertime, I'm going to try to spend more time there. But I, you know, I have a lot of work here. So partly I'm very grateful for that and a lot of gratitude, but at the same time, like, I want to pick up brand deals in Vietnam. I want to travel Vietnam, get on a motorbike and just go by myself and, you know, and vlog, you know, and live, just be out there by myself.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe a week or two, you know, and just vlog and just roll up to different places that are like completely unbeknownst to me.
I think that's such a like a, it should be like a passage where every person who is in the West needs to come home to the motherland once in their life, spend like 2-3 months and just really do the whole full circle. If you grew up in Americas, the West, whatever, Australia, UK, and you had Vietnamese parents, coming to Vietnam will change
the view identity
of how, yeah, of like, you understand your parents. And through that, it's like a mirror. You understand yourself.
Yeah, and I encourage all the young people who are, you know, in their 30s, who have 20 and 30s, who have parents that are, you know, still healthy enough to travel back with your mom and dad. It's such a beautiful, I did it in 99 or 2000 for the first time with my mom and dad. And we took 12 relatives in a big van. And I look back and I'm like, that was like one of the most epic trips. We went to south, up to the north and back down. And one of the most epic trips in my life, 2-3 weeks. And, you know, I took a picture on this beautiful rock somewhere in the north. My mom and dad were sitting on this rock and I had a DSLR camera. And I shot this shot of my mom and dad sitting. And I still have that picture. And it's on my dad's tombstone right now, that picture with my mom and dad sitting there. And I look back and in the album and I'm like, you don't realize this, how special these things are when you get to travel back home to their homeland, you know, and connect with them.
Mm. Beautiful.
Yeah. And my, you know, my dad's gone. And yeah. But yeah, my love for Vietnam will, I don't think it'll ever, ever die. And I, and you know, I make it a point in my work, I think, to bridge all the people who look the other way and are like, oh, I just can't deal with the government. I just can't, blah, blah, blah. You know, all these things. And I get that. I get the pain. I get the loss. But at the end of the day, Vietnam's such a beautiful country and it's part of us. Yeah, I, you know, I want to probably end by asking you, like, you know, what do you hope in the next year to kind of like this 2026 to do differently from what you did in the past trips?
I think I was talking to a friend about this and she was like, what you're doing right now, you have a tendency to burn out. That's what I'm scared of. Like I go hard and then I'm going to burn out. But putting myself a lot more out there and see where it goes, going into the unknown.
Why do you think you burn out? Why do you think you go that hard and allow yourself to burn out? And did you ever study when you actually hit the burnout point?
I think it's like they're always in the back of my mind, the guilt, this parental guilt of like my parents are going to die one day. And I need to do everything quick, 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 now. So I can be there for them, whether that's physically, financially. It was always, they sacrifice so much. So I have to somehow take care of them in some way, in some form. Especially being the older, the eldest kid, there's always this sense of like, I need to be a millionaire and figure things out and take care of the whole family. And in Canada, I did a lot of jobs just to make sure that they're okay or just help them with whatever. So I always have that like intensity of like, go, 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 go. But I realized I was like digging myself in. I'm just like a car spinning its wheels with no direction.
Yeah.
I've always been like that. So now I'm hoping this year would be different.
Well, I hope so too. And Peter, we'll check back in about a year. We'll see where this adventure takes both of us. And when I get to Vietnam, I'll hit you up and hit Chris Tran Travels up and love we'll to see lunch. You guys again. Yeah. Thanks for coming
we're
on.
Here recently.
For, say again?
I heard you here recently.
I was there, but I didn't, you, where were you? I didn't, I mean, I didn't.
I was in Vietnam. I think I was in Vietnam. Was it in January? What month?
Yeah, January. I left January 20th.
I was there on the 24th.
That's yep. Okay. Yep. Yep. Yep.
Okay.
But I'd asked Chris, you know, I was like, is Peter around? And he said, no, he's not there. I don't think he, yeah. Well, dude, thank you so much. I know we,
thank you.
Thanks for being patient. We had to reschedule a few times and, you know, I appreciate you being so
we're both
patient.
Traders. I get it. Our schedules are crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you so much. I, and we'll talk very soon.
Okay. Cảm ơn anh.
Thank you for listening to The Vietnamese with Kenneth Nguyen. Special thanks to Brittany Tran, to Jane Nguyen, Catherine Nguyen, Tina Pham, Sydney Jamie, and Crystal Trinh. Please find us on Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok at The Vietnamese Podcast.